Well, I made some very good discoveries in the LaRouche Quadrant today. We bring it up later privately. An article by LaRouche called How Dead Souls of Venice Corrupted Science explains the popularity of Galileo, Newton, and Bertrand Russell. And a lot of good stuff that overlaps with the castles, it looks like. But we know you think much of Galileo.
He ain't trying to get in their butt. He's trying to get them their rectum. Rectum hell. It might kill every one of them.
Are you talking about LaRouche or Galileo?
LaRouche.
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 Well, are you ready to take questions?
Hell yeah, let's go. Let's go. Let's go. We're ready an hour and 45 minutes ago without any time.
Okay, so we go to Ginny.
Hey, Ion, I'm looking at that article that Bob just quoted. It says that the shift of the Venetian party from the Adriatic to the banks of the Thames was the metastasis of the cancer of the oligarchism. Is that an accurate statement?
Yeah, but we don't know what metastasism does other than it systemically squalls the energies of the vessel. So maybe.
Very good. Metastasis?
To metastasize.
Wait.
Yes.
Oh, to metastasize, yes.
Maybe it was in Manassas. We like Manassas. Manassas is good.
You haven't read the article yet, but there's a division between Aristotle's Atoms and the Void meme versus Plato's The Plenum and Subtle Matter. It sounds like Ion is for the plenum and subtle matter. Plenum means full,
yes.
No void.
Yes.
The atom is in the
yes.
void versus the plenum. You like
yes.
that? You like Plato in that dialectic?
Yes. Yes. Yeah, it's like you super sugars when you got the little seeds and you're trying to find the space between those ions to hook the little seeds in a little chart. Makes a little heart, the Cheerio heart, you know, the Cheerios in another shape. Where you take the little Cheerios and they hook all the little seeds up and make a little heart, healthy heart shape thing. It's the spaces in them little ion things. It's so cool. Yes, we like it full.
Yeah, that's Dr. Dean's area. That phrase, very good phrase, the plenum and the subtle matter versus the atoms and the void. The atoms and void is dominated. The Aristotelian faction, the British Phoenician oligarchy, Queen Elizabeth fuck-ups have dominated the meme, but of course that's changing with Ion, and hopefully some of the Venetian Anglo party will adjust and adapt.
Syro-Phoenician, actually.
Phonetic alphabet.
Syro-Phoenicians, yes.
Martin, the Martin guy, any one of them, Saint Martin, aligned? Yeah, Saint Martin. And when they're building the frequency modulating castles, are they aligned to the Aristotelian sense certainty foundation?
We would say
Platonic higher hypothesis.
No,
or neither.
The first, closest to the first.
Well, here's Ion. For a minute there, he supported the Plato side. Now he's flipping the Aristotelian side.
Alignment, that's the point. If it converges, then it will flip because you're looking at a different perspective. One applies and the other absorbs. The void absorbs.
You get that, Ginny?
The fullness applies.
Yeah, you get that, Ginny?
The fullness applies and the void absorbs. I got that part, Bob.
Yep.
Excellent. Nature abhors a vacuum. Is that the plenum view or the void view?
The plenum view.
You're right. The vacuum is created by abstract visual space, and the Syrophoenicians and the grammarians and rhetoricians provide an alternative. The full view, later distilled in Plato. And then to Zoroaster.
Well, or at least, pickled. It's pickled in Plato. It isn't preserved.
Yeah, now me, Connie, and Ophanel, myself as Ophanel, were we Platonists or Aristotelians or anarchists or tetrad managers? What were we back then?
Mostly happy.
Too many variables?
Happy.
Ah, okay, yes, that would be
mostly
and
happy.
And, Deb, we have no idea what article he's talking about. It's some made-up bullshit Bob pulled out of his breath. And here's where it comes from. It's some ridiculous bunch of wordy words that somebody throwed in a peat box somewhere and lost and filed and pulled up and recycled and reset, refiled, bought back up, put it on the Wikipedia, canceled it, found it on Google, run it back up, and that's what it was all about. And now they're discussing it thoroughly now, Mr. Corso. It's beautiful. Yes.
Yeah, is that right? Well, Ginny, she went there very quickly. She found it. A good article,
yeah,
Ginny. It'll fill in a lot of,
part
of your education you missed. All right, so you have another topic.
Yes,
Ginny.
I'm always following up on things that you say, Bob. Well, like I was listening to you talk about Mark's a little while back, and I followed up with that too.
Very good.
Ion, about the carbon, I just want to ask, Ion, is there a function of the carbons in the RNA drops that have not yet been revealed by you to us?
Yes.
That we can
yes.
consider and embrace?
Easy. Consider. Are the carbo.
Too many
portion.
Words, Ginny. Too many words.
Yeah, you got to consider the allotropes.
Let me see what an allotrope is. An allotrope is the property of some chemical elements to exist in two or more different forms in the same physical state.
Valency.
Is that in the 14th ring, the valence, or that valence?
That would be neither. We're talking about allotropes, not the 14th ring.
So the carbon is in some sort of allotropic position?
Yes, due to its valency.
Okay, so it says diamond and graphite are two allotropes of carbon, pure forms of the same element that differ in crystalline structure. Is that due to the valency?
Yes, but no. Honey, you're trying to get to the nanocarbons. You need some Bucky Fuller in your life.
Yeah, the Bucky
Fullerene.
Is that Fullerene.
The Bucky Fuller, the Fullerenes, where the carbon atoms are bonded together in spherical, tubular, or ellipsoidal formations?
Mm-hmm.
Ellipsoidal?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And in a nanotube.
When those allotropes of carbon hit the meat sack body, exciting things happen?
Yeah, depends on if you got single-walled nanotubes or multi-walled nanotubes.
What are we most likely to have in our RNA drops?
Exceptionally good field emitters.
Carolyn, does any of that make sense to you?
Yeah,
She didn't say.
Yeah. Okay,
that's
so
pretty
I'm not
good.
Supposed
that's
to
pretty
say.
Good. That's pretty good, Bob. She did what we did. It's pretty cool. She came through that long pause of, she didn't say. Yeah, that's what she said. She didn't say. We like that. That's fun. Let's do that again.
Okay,
come on,
so
Jim. Let's do that again.
A
that
nano. Now, let's do this. Nanotubes are members of the fullerene structural family. Their name is derived from their long, hollow structure with the walls formed by one-atom-thick sheets of carbon called graphene. So now, Carolyn, did it make sense?
I think what's happening with the RNA drops is they're probably shifting us back and forth between worlds. So in one world we have one allotrope of carbon, and the other world we have a different allotrope. Is that a possibility, Ion?
It's what she's presenting, yes.
Bob's muted.
This is allotropes of carbon A, diamond B, graphite C, Lonsdale Light. Remember we used to stay at Dominic Verity's in the 70s at Lonsdale Avenue, Toronto? And then Buckminster Fullerene is D, and amorphous carbon. And then H, single-walled carbon nanotube, or Bucky tube. So they've got all kinds of these things. That's what
yeah.
we're talking about, eh?
Yeah, carbon is pretty hot.
And what is the definition of an allotrope itself?
Ginny said that.
Valency.
Property of some chemical elements to exist in two or more different forms. So you're saying carbon is in eight forms.
And allotrope refers to the valency.
Well, that's how they can present themselves, by having different valences, but I wouldn't say allotrope is a valence or valence is an
what
allotrope.
What is allotrope, then?
I just said, property of some chemical elements exists in two or more different forms.
So you could have allotropes of gold or of oxygen.
Mm-hmm,
it means many kinds of carbon, so there's eight kinds here.
So far, until we make some more.
Now, tropes means metaphor. Mm-hmm. So there's science taking a poetic term or grammatical term and making it reductionist.
I told you this was going to end up in a LaRouche quadrant before you got through.
Yeah, you did say that. But then it always goes past that to the Thompson quadrant in the final restaurant.
Yeah, that's where they have the wake, isn't it?
Yes.
At
the Thompson quadrant, where all the good people die.
Next point.
Well, it says in the wiki that carbon nanotubes can lead to significant improvements in the mechanical properties of biodegradable polymeric nanocomposites in tissue like bone, cartilage, muscle, and nerves. So are the carbons in the drops improving the body in that regard, Ion?
They're affecting the lipids, yes.
Okay. Those are my questions for now, Bob.
That's pretty yummy.
Very good.
Girly, girly, girly. That's pretty good.
That's very cool. Yeah. Because, you know, carbon can be hard like diamond and soft like...
Bob.
Then,
soft like Bob.
Yes. Very soft skin.
Then we can do anything with it in our body according to what we desire.
All right. So, Deb, Ginny's a hard act to follow, so put on your best
hat. Yeah, I know it. You better know it.
Go ahead.
Ion, I wanted to know if you would describe the difference between a field vision and another world experience. Nadi was talking about an experience she had where she went all the way into this world and made a choice and was told to stay, not to transition. And I started thinking about the experience I had in the summer when the shooting took place in my hometown. I really felt like I was there, yet I was here. And I felt all the emotion and the shock and everything that they were feeling. So what is the difference between, and would you define a field vision and then the type of experience which seems to be another world?
It's all about peripheral. It's all about your side vision. Field vision is side vision, peripheral. So you're talking about the periphery. You're talking about it maps the visual fields of each eye individually. So the eye that you're seeing that sees, whether it be a pocket dimension or another world or an experience, an emotional charged experience that you are actually there from a periphery, you could catch something in the corner of your eye would be a field, visual field. So what you're describing is something that's in your periphery can cause the emotion just as you're in pulling the trigger or having the trigger pulled at you or having those experiences. It's just like in Fringe with the watchers who could move faster than the bullets. They could see them going and coming. So their peripheral vision was extraordinary because they could see it as a slow thing.
And would you say that Nadia's experience was a field vision?
Well, it started that way, and then she was actually there.
And what is it that propels us there?
Whether your bias is from straight-on vision rather than the periphery. Once she got led into it and got to that mark, then she could engage it straight-on. And then it's like you take on the fever. You take on the cough. You take on the rhinovirus thing. You take it on. You catch it. And once you catch it, then you get to deal with it how you're going to deal with it. Then after that, it's blue plate mayonnaise.
Plate mayonnaise.
Yeah, of course. Not Hellman's blue plate.
And when you mentioned the peripheral vision and being one eye, you said one of the many eyes?
Each eye, yes.
Each eye. You're not talking about just our two eyes. Are you referring more to that experience I had last year where I had sort of a compound eye experience?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah, when you lost your keys.
When I lost my, I was on the tennis court.
But you lost your keys.
I don't remember that.
Well, that was good.
Time.
Now that's the periphery. Now we're engaging in the periphery. Good. Which one? Which in that periphery was that? Was that one? Mm-hmm. That's a good example. Good.
And that key reference, would that be to another dimension?
Ask and answer. You're bullying the witness.
And can you give me an example of any pocket-type dimension application in my life?
Your hallway mirror.
My hallway mirror.
Yes.
Well.
If you weren't so vain, you wouldn't need so many damn mirrors, but you got them. So.
You it's still check fun, that though. Lipstick.
Huh? You better know. Better know it. Better know it. Revlon. Love that red.
Yeah, there you go. Wow. Well, that's a lot to digest. Now I can't even think of my next questions.
Okay, that's very good. You almost equaled Ginny there. That was good. Nice effort there, Deb. Very good.
Well, I didn't know I was
there
in the contest, Bob.
They didn't say if there's a race, she was all the way in there, so that's good.
That's why you're in the position you are, Wendy. What's her name? Deb. You don't know the competitive foundation of American culture.
Judy. That's right.
And what position is that, Bob?
What position is my view of you?
You said that's why you're in the position you are in, and what do you mean by that?
Well, you never get to be number one. Because you're not competing.
Oh.
Or you're always number one because you never see anyone else's empire.
Yeah, and that can be a little too narcissistic.
But you're so busy looking in the mirror, you don't even notice. So it's good. It's all right.
Yeah.
Chronic narcissism. Chronic narcissism. It's good. We like it. We like it. We like it. Honey, when it gets that, you spit every time it works. Right.
Grade 2 mathematics or something. Grade 2 arithmetic. That's where you end up. That's your position.
Then you can make an eye salve out of the spittle. Yeah.
How nostalgic can you get?
Yeah, I got a Barrett Eldorado for you, honey.
Two-pronged attack on you there.
Convertible, red, candy.
Ooh, love that Barrett. Is it a 59?
60.
Ooh. Love those lines.
Yeah, okay, try to get into something else.
With a continental kit, besides.
Ooh, yes, don't really need it, but it sure adds a lot.
It's yummy.
Deb, start selling Zappa bootlegs. A lot more money than that.
Okay, sign me up.
Oh, no,
just go over to killuglyradio.com.
Well, how about if I just drive that Baritz convertible with Zappa blaring through the speakers? Would that work, Ion?
That would if you got the Bose set up added to it. The Bose set up, yep. Maybach has the very best Bose radio going.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent. Very good, Deb. Let's see what the next person says. How about you, Madeline? Did you learn a lot? I think I've gone to bed, but I listened last night to Madeline talk to Ion 2 weeks ago, tailgate. She had a private session with Ion there. What happened there? Did you profit from that, Madeline?
I might have profited. I think I did a little bit.
Would you like to follow up?
No.
Why not?
No, thank you.
Come on. Gotta talk. Forget your opinion. You fell for my question. Do not have an opinion on whether you want to talk or not. Just start talking.
I'm going on mute now.
What do you say to that, Ian? Can one go on mute?
All I care about is me, Bob. That's all I'm going to ask about.
There's no such thing, Madeline. You should never care about yourself, Madeline, because your image of yourself is limited. You know what I mean? What do you think yourself is? The thing that walks around and does the trapeze? The trapeze work stuff. You know what I mean? Trapeze?
No.
Walking high up there? You know, when you're doing your tent building.
Okay.
Your job of entertainment props. Is it theater props? Stadium props?
Hey, Madeline, I understand you guys hooked up, you and Barbara and Allison. What was it like?
No, she's only concerned about herself, and she didn't notice them.
I heard you talking to Barbara about that, so it was fun.
Well, yeah, but I didn't talk to you, and I'm asking you now. I mean, I was just wondering what your experience was. Did you have a good time? What was it like?
I love meeting Ionettes because I don't get to talk about Iondom with anyone else, really. So it was wonderful. It was great. It was my first time meeting Barbara, and it was a pleasure. And, we met for lunch and left at dinner time. I don't have words.
No, cool.
Sorry.
All right.
Yeah, but you're probably more talkative in person than you are right now, Madeline, right? I don't think you sat there with this tight-lipped, resentful that you even have to use English attitude you project now when you were with them, right?
I was probably about the same as I was when I met you. I didn't say much then.
Oh, I didn't get that impression. At least you nodded.
You didn't?
You kept nodding as I...
Right.
Yeah. You and Richard.
Yeah, I just nodded.
That's right. So you did a lot of nodding with Barbara and Allison.
Probably. I'm going on mute. I'm doing stuff, Bob.
Allison.
I'm sorry.
No, wait, Madeline. Here's Allison addressing you, Madeline. So, Allison, how'd it go with Madeline? Was she tight-lipped? Just nodding?
She was great. I've met her a bunch of times. And, yeah, she's tight-lipped because she doesn't have much that she wants to contribute, I don't think, unless she is ready for it or is prompted to present something. Barbara and I were...
No one's ever ready.
That's
Allison,
a good point.
You've had some children. No one's ever ready for... pregnancy and birth, right?
You're
ready for it. So
you're right.
Allison,
and
I mean, Madeline should not be trying to get ready.
Yeah, but she's not unaddressable or uninvolved. She's contemplative, and Barbara and I were like, blah, 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 and Madeline waited.
She was weighing and evaluating, and you guys were blabbing probably too much. So who's the happy middle? Alyssa? Who's the role model for the happy middle? Carolyn? Yeah, not blabbing too much, not withholding too much. Yeah.
Carolyn is
you know anybody else?
Much more than the happy middle. She is the contemplative, I'm not going to say anything until it's important.
Oh, no. You get her in a group.
Yeah, Bob, I feel like I don't have a damn thing. I just don't have anything worth saying. Honestly.
Well, see, that's wrong. You're already communicating with your body language.
No, it's not.
See, you've got a limited notion of what communication is. So you should supplement, make it stereo, what your body language is doing. But you don't have to be so exact, unless you're around me, and what you're saying. And I'm not there, so you're free range to say what you're saying, what you want, anything. You know, right now. Discuss hockey. You want to talk about hockey?
Madeline shows up all the time. So there's something that brings her back here, just like all of us.
Yes.
There's something that brings you back here, Madeline. Even if you don't seem to want to say something, you are prompted, and often what you say is, you know, leads to something different. But you're not rejecting this scene. That's all I would say.
We control the horizontal and we control the vertical. So just like Rod Sterling, just hang on. It'll be all right.
And can Madeline apply that, Ion?
Sure.
Now, this is not Madeline's way of getting attention. This ain't that cheap kind of behavior, right, Ion?
No.
You want to add something, Madeline?
No, thank you.
Not muted yet. Well, we're going to analyze you. I'm going to put the Bob X-ray on you. So, Ion, what is...
Oh, Lord. Okay, he's going to go into the binomial nomenclature right now. Here we go.
That's right. Binomial 2, that's your parent. So what effect is
I'm bending over
her that she's not aware of? You're what?
Bending over.
She's getting ready to enter the LaRouche quadrant.
Yeah, she'll read that LaRouche article Ginny posted. But is there any dominant binomial influence on her that she's not aware of that comes from her parents, Ion?
No, it's for her. It does. Of course you know it does. But it's not about that. It's the trebler. You never know how much bass there is until you deal with the trebler. She's not gauging the frequency of her bass. She's still concerning herself with the trebler.
And the trebler is the modulator?
Maybe.
Do you know what that means, Madeline, the trebular?
It's all about the bass, Bob, no treble. She's hung up in the treble.
Right.
You got to bring booty back.
Ion, can you equate the bass to grounding?
No. It's a frequency.
Here she comes, Ion. Here she comes. Go ahead, Madeline.
Yeah, I'm going to ask about me. So,
okay.
Oh,
good.
Maybe
we like you. No, we like you. We like you. We like you. It'll be all right.
Well, thank you. When I took lots of drops and shit got pretty interesting, I don't know how to approach this. Oh.
Then take more drops. Just take more. Get a tablespoon. That's how to fix that. Then you know you'll get it.
I had the impression that there was, like, another aspect of myself or something. There was something other than the self I'm accustomed to.
There always has been, darling. And we've told you that and told you that and told you that. You go in the bathroom. You comb your hair. You fix yourself up just so. Then you go do something else. And you come back and you look and it's kind of like, what the hell was I thinking? My hair's not fixed at all. And you, like, have to start all over again. And you start all over. And it was already fixed. That multi-shifting versions of you. Or you put something on, you look in the mirror, and then you go change. And you change 17 times, and then you look and go, I have nothing to wear. You also have nowhere to sleep because the bed's piled full of clothes that you've already taken off that you don't have anything to wear. The same thing like that.
I'm trying to take that in.
We know. I mean,
I'm trying to see how that applies.
Well, shifting splits of you, shifting splits of you. That's what you're shaking up by. When you took too many drops, you thought you took too many. You didn't take enough. You thought you took too many drops. You were some LSD dropped a brown tab floating through the little pixie dust. Fly away, oh glory, somewhere out there in the sweet, biting, dirty hair and nail right now. So too done it. Then you come right back to the place and you go, wait a second. And you shake yourself and wish not that the spirit had departed from you. And you go, wait, that's pretty cool. I kind of like that social perception of the dividedness of me, the dividedness of me. But then you felt divisive in the divided place of thee. Then you wanted to come back, and then you were scared because you didn't know. And then you were wondering, you were hoping it wasn't going to be like that. But then you thought it was pretty good, and it was kind of funny. It kind of took your breath away. You liked it really good, and you thought it might be good. And you thought, oh, God, I'm going to do it. Give me one more little round of drops. And then we've got to go. So we're saying, you're experiencing the multi-sides of you. Can't have dead air on the radio. Bob gets crossed.
Can't have dead air on the radio.
Because Karen's paying a lot of money, and you can't have dead air on the radio. It's just a deduction, but you can't do that. You got to get your money's worth. So
okay, go ahead, Madeline.
All that money.
To say something. Madeline's trying to talk, Ion. Go ahead, Madeline.
I'm trying to formulate a question. I am describing my experience, but, like, so what?
So that's where you are. You're asking the question. Your question is, hey, this thing that is me feels odd. It doesn't feel normal. And I don't know if it's good or bad. I don't really have that perception, but it feels odd. And so we described it to make sure you knew that we knew what you had experienced. Okay. Now that you know that we know and everybody knows what you experienced, then the privacy here recorded forever, because this has already been recorded already anyway. Bob gives us elocution lessons through the week so we can be prim and proper and ever so perfectedly perfect when we perform on the paradio. It's pretty fun. So then you see, you're looking at you, and you're looking back to see if you were looking back to see. That's the dip song, looking in the rearview mirror. And you're looking back to see where you were, but you're going where you're going. But you don't see where you're going because that's where you were. And that's why it shifts a bit sometimes for you. Okay, now let's soften that down just a little bit. The different versions that you're comparing yourself to you that make you seem woefully not grounded, which is, that's what your concern is grounding. Because otherwise, all the crap you just...
Okay.
What, Babba?
No.
Yeah,
no,
are you talking to me?
Am I getting...
Are you talking to me?
I'm getting... No.
Are you
like
getting any impression?
No,
I don't know. Go ahead. Finish your sentence, Babba.
So is Zion actually telling me that my concern is with grounding? This is what I need to... Well, I don't need
to be concerned. No, you are grounded. You are grounded, but you're worried you are not. But you are. But that's why you have the question at all. It's because you don't think you are, because you can't be that flighty and lost and undone and non-Christian like your damn Pope and all that stuff. So we need to have a can we take a moment, and first of all we need to take up a little collection, and we need to have a moment of silence, and we're going to pray to get the Pope saved. We want to get the Pope saved, so we should pray for the Pope to get him saved. We're going to lead him through the sinner's prayer and see if we can rub some of the Catholicism off of him.
I'm guessing this. I don't know, I just suspect. Are you saying that since I rejected religion that I feel ungrounded?
No, we were trying to save the Pope, not you. We want you to become God. We're trying to save him so he can have a God. But don't worry about it, y'all, because when Issy knocks down his wall and starts running through the Vatican, Issy and Isil and Osi and Emsi and Usi and Dosi and Opsi and Bipsi and Nan and Bob, that's the Bobsy twins, when they come through and tear down that wall, then they're going to be praying to President Trump. He might be God Trump by then, and then once that happens, to come save him from his Vaticaned walls.
Okay, Allison, do you have something you want to ask that's not personal?
No, I was going to comment saying
it was not once on a T-shirt, you know, of course.
Yeah.
That's so funny. I was actually going to comment about meeting Madeline. Ian is so right on for me, Madeline, about you not feeling grounded, but that's just my perspective.
I had the same meaning, Allison, when I said she's very careful doing the stadium props and up there in the trapeze or walking around, you know. She has to be grounded in her job.
Yeah, she's very cautious. And
that's why it's so hysterical, because an incredible amount of energy can flow through her. If she were not well-grounded, she'd be electrocuted to death already. But she is so well-grounded, a lot can flow through her. But all that flowing through her makes her question her connection. Thank you, Ian, for my belief. Now help my disbelief.
So when she takes ayahuasca, that's where she's allowing herself to get ungrounded in a ritual context.
Well, but it doesn't. It really doesn't do that way for her. She's a day tripper without all that. Yeah, she can trip on drops.
Do the RNA drops have a more permanent effect on people than LSD or MDMA would have, even though they're
temporary? Of course, yes, because it makes a memory. They're not temporary. They're not beneficial. All they do is give new information to your RNA, to your DNA, so you can make new cells. It's not even for that. We done told you this ain't for you. It ain't about you.
No, see, like, well, right there, are you talking about LSD or MDMA, that gives new information. Which was
no,
the subject in that sentence?
RNA drops.
Right. They don't deal with memory, but the MDMA, there's therapy for the, it helps people, you know, soldiers and that with post-traumatic stress syndrome. Is that permanent, the MDMA effect?
No, it is not. That's why they have to keep doing
it. Whereas the drops are more permanent.
Because the MDMA is just trying to teach them that they should have shot themselves in the head because they didn't get shot in the head. They're upset because they didn't get shot in the head. The only thing they fix that is shoot your damn self in the head. Blow your damn head off. You're going to kill yourself. That's the only thing that helps PTSD. So everybody that's suffering from PTSD, don't call the VA helpline. They're not going to help you. They know where you are. They're not going to give you no money. They're not going to help you. They're not going to do anything for you.
Okay, Allison, did you want to say something more?
So we're talking about the INETs hooking up, in a way.
Yum. Now there's a movie for you right there, honey.
When we hook up, and it's the best thing ever, because personally I don't want to talk to anybody else who doesn't know about ION, or it's just a silly conversation that could ensue. It has no substance. I was going to email this to you, Bob, about the whole scene where if somebody doesn't know about you, ION, it's kind of not fun to talk to them.
Allison, I would say that's because they are not in touch with the new environment. When you know what ION is here and doing things, that's what you start questioning about. You have to figure out your relationship with it. And if you're not dealing with that, then the person is dead. They're not relevant to your experience, to what's happening right now. So, yes, they have to know before they're worth talking about. Otherwise, they're not here.
So I get that.
They didn't arrive.
You know, when you place it in the context of ION, there are very few or many that are involved with ION. I don't want to talk to anybody who doesn't understand an ionic viewpoint.
Yeah, that's true. It's like someone who doesn't speak your language.
You're going to be limited.
You're just going to say, hello, how you doing, and pass the butter. You won't get into the subtleties of talking English with another person who can
salted,
speak English.
Salted or unsalted, Bob? It makes a deal.
Salted.
Good. Now, that's a preservative, and it makes it last longer. And if you use, like, Saldemir or Mediterranean, that pink salt, kind of like pink salt, a little bit, it's pretty good. Or maybe confetti salt. You can do some fancy stuff. Anyway, that little bit of salt is a good thing for your body, too. You can put it in water, or you can just put it in your butter. It's all good, as long as you're getting butter.
That's a great example of what Ayanna's saying, is it's that simple. You know, with the people that we engage, it's kind of fanciful. Are you into salt? Are you into not salt? What are you into? It's not a heavy deal. It's not like it used to be with when you said to me about the Abrahams, you know, we're going to have to send you back to the Abrahams. There is nothing that heavy about ION to me. It's light and it's fun, yet if I talk to somebody who doesn't have that base,
Number 611.
Okay, I'm going to write that down. But number 611, it's just kind of not interesting, and I don't really want to engage. And that eliminates about 99% of the people that I would engage. So it's kind of fun. It was like meeting Barbara and engaging with Madeline again. You know, we had 7 hours of time together, and it felt like an hour. We were laughing. It was so much fun, yet we covered a lot of specific stuff.
The experience. I'm just saying, Allison, that if someone doesn't know ION exists, they haven't entered the weather, they don't know what the weather is today, and then they're questioning about it and all the different things they go through with it, that's the level you're on. That's the playing field. And if they're not on the playing field, then they basically aren't around for you. You can't register them, and they can't register you.
That's true, and I would say to ION, you know, that the interesting part of that is I can still engage with people.
It's like the life of Pablo.
Pablo who?
Picasso?
No. Kanye West, The Life of Pablo.
Oh.
The rant that he just did?
No, The Life of Pablo, the song.
I don't know it, Bob. Do you know it?
Nobody knows it. Nobody does. It's
Nobody
ridiculous.
Does.
Is it a good song?
There's nothing Kanye West has ever done that was any good, but it's what you're talking about.
Okay, so I just want to make this statement before we go to the next caller. Sheila's husband, Charlie, bought a hat.
Oh, he just got a hat. He's a watcher.
Is Charlie actually a watcher, or is he just modeling himself after a
while? No, he's got the little fedora thing.
Does he want to be a watcher?
No, it's just a really nice hat. And it's made him a little bit better lover.
Okay, well, Sheila's waving away to get her words in here, but we're just going to
bang. She wants that. She's going to talk about hot action. There's a hat action. When God takes a dump on your head, craft it into a hat that says, when God takes a dump on your head, craft it into a hat that says, then there you go.
All right, well, let's see what comes out of this. Are you there, Roxy?
Hello.
Hello, Roxy. Go ahead.
Hey, Super Sugar Love.
Yes. Lately, America shows up a lot in what I'm researching. And I've been thinking about how, since the beginning, there is this idea of the providential destiny. I would like to explore more what is America. And just the fact that in every bill there is this "In God We Trust." It's already very revealing, because I see in the history of America there is always this new spiritual, metaphysical, or religious movements being created.
Yeah, like Jonathan Edwards, the Great Awakening in 1740s or something. That was one of the first.
Sinners in the hands of an angry God.
That was his lecture. Is that what you're talking about, Roxy? The tendency
was
of America.
It was a sermon. It wasn't a lecture. It was a sermon, Bob. Come on.
I thought it was a seminar. Okay. That was before my time.
Yeah,
right.
You remember Sherman? Sherman burned Atlanta, and Matthew did the Sermon on the Mount.
So this is the kind of movement you're talking about, Roxy. What would be an example of a recent one? The counterculture New Age movement in American culture?
It's Queen Isabella. April the 30th, 1803, there was a treaty.
Okay.
And the treaty made up, this is Queen Isabella, finance the Louisiana Purchase. And that's what that was about.
Yeah. That led to the populist religious revivals?
That was the populist religious revival. That purchase was the revival. Otherwise, China can't have a dragon without Queen Isabella. She was hot, too. She could get it. Yeah. Queen Isabella.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, the makers of the castles we've been talking about, Jefferson gets involved with them. Jefferson's president, I think, in 1803. Is there some link? Were negotiations for the Louisiana Purchase that take place in one of the two of the castles that we've been talking about?
No, but it was done with Robert Livingston and James Monroe.
Not Jefferson.
Jefferson was there, but Monroe and Livingston closed it.
Did they do that in the Carteret Chapel we were talking about the other day, the one that all signings were done, that little place that's in ruins now? Villiers-Carteret?
No. In Jefferson's part, he interpreted the Constitution around the U.S. government and the authority to even buy the new territory. Because, see, it was supposed to be an empire. Here's the words, an empire for liberty.
Okay, Roxy, there's the religious part.
Yes, the real liberty people were looking when they immigrated to America was the religious liberty.
You got a question?
Is this the born of novation?
It's a type of novation.
In a place.
Yeah, it's a.
No,
it is.
There was no nobility.
Yeah, is this a porno? What she's going to ask, I've heard her tell this to me, is that set up in Louisiana, Empire of Liberty, is that a porno version of Iandom?
Well, no, it was true in its moment. Because, see, that was the founding part. If you never had a nut, you can't really call that pornography. This was pre-orgasm.
Right.
So this was the beginning stages of finding your way. You know, you get in the bathtub and you start having these little feeding things. You don't know what it is and how it all works out. And next thing you know, oops, and you have a gizgasm. Well, then after that, it can become pornographic. But just the first time, just nocturnal ejaculation, that doesn't really count because you don't really know. But that's what the Louisiana Purchase was. They thought it was a really jizzy good thing to get into, to nut over. They had no idea. They had no clue.
They didn't know that they ended up having wars with the Indians over it.
They didn't care about that. They had the land. Screw the Indians. They didn't care.
Well, what did they have no idea about?
530 million acres, Bob. What are you going to do with 530 million acres?
Yeah, but you said they had no idea what they were getting into. So what are some of the effects?
They had no idea how much it was worth. They had no idea how they were going to get the money to pay for it. They had no idea how they were going to get Queen Isabella to finance it. They had no idea how they were going to protect it once they got it, how they didn't pay the money, and then France come back and say, you dirty motherfuckers, get off my daddy's land. That's my daddy's land. You didn't have no business having that land. I'll blow your shit up. Just like the Falklands, and Margaret Thatcher comes prowling through there and blows up Canada, and she tries to take over the Keystone Pipeline, and then Halliburton has to come in with Dick Cheney and Compass Bank and take over everything in the whole wide world again. They've done it three times. They're going to do it again. And then they got to figure out how they're going to get the Mississippi River out of the equation, because they didn't really buy the Mississippi, and it was not involved in the Louisiana Purchase. It was separate. It's separate. It's not included. It's not in the treaty. And that riparian right was not included in the land deal. So what good is Louisiana Purchase if you ain't got no damn water on it?
So Patrick, somebody, I forget his last name, he went to a parallel world and got the money.
Yeah, but don't tell nobody. Again. Don't tell nobody that, Bob.
All right.
That's like you can't talk about that. You can't talk about that. I know you can't talk about that. She hollers every time you start talking about that stuff. So don't do that. You know this, Bob. Don't do that.
Yeah, sorry. Okay, Roxy, where does that lead? What are you asking? Religious revivals.
Lucien Levy, Lucien Benny.
What?
He's a professor of the Sorbonne, and he made a study of international relationships, and he says the First World War was actually all about La Nouvelle France.
1763, the Treaty of Paris. Now, that is mentioned in the LaRouche article, Roxy. We began with this LaRouche article, The Dead Souls of the Venetian Party. They talk about the 1763 faction. I'm going to look into see if it overlaps.
Yes, it seems like all these conflicts between France, England, and the Habsburgs and the Vatican ended up in that selling of the French Empire or to England and Spain, and then England became the big empire.
Okay, so what's your question? You're asking, Ion just said 1803 was a key point. And that's what you're saying. You're saying the key point was 1763.
Yes, all these empires had this interest in this new world. And it seems that the real causes of their conflict was somehow to dominate or gain control in America.
No, darling, it was for the House of Austria, the House of Austria.
Everybody was buying it, fighting over it on behalf of the House of Austria, Ion?
Yeah.
What gave the House of Austria an advantage over everybody else?
Otto
von Bismarck?
Otto von Habsburg.
Yeah.
Come on.
Who has a namesake in the 20th century? Yeah, he has a namesake in the 20th century.
What would be the reason that the Habsburgs are so strongly linked to the Vatican?
That's where they got their money checks. The Holy Roman Empire is how they got their monies. Went all the way up to Rudolph.
Rudolph of Belgium?
Rudolph, the Crown Prince of Austria.
So You have the present Audubon Hapsburger, who passed on July 4th, 2011, or faked it. He witnessed the dissolution of the empire in 1918. Is that still there, this Habsburg?
It is. It is. Now, it doesn't go much into Rudolph the Second, but Rudolph the First had it all going on.
How does the mountain...
His daddy was Francis Joseph the First and Elizabeth from Bavaria. That was his mama.
Yeah, this is Rudolph the Second, Holy Roman Emperor.
No, Rudolph the First, not the Second, the First. Because the second's daddy was Maximilian. Daddy was
Rudolph
Maximilian.
The first. Who connected to the mountain? The question is about the mountain, and you went on.
Francis Joseph the First. That's the connection for Habsburg. Yeah, for Habsburg Lorraine. But hell, you're talking about 1273, Bob, so it kind of got ahead of your history a little bit there, didn't it?
No, we're talking about King Francis. He's 1490s.
Well, yes, the connection of how it applies to the Louisiana Purchase connects the thread all the way through this and how the Habsburgs got involved in this whole damn thing to start with. And it was from Rudolph, Crown Prince of Austria.
Well, just to get a foundation, are you talking about King Francis I of France, who worked with Leonardo da Vinci? Did you mention him in the last 2 minutes?
We did, but that's not what this is about. That's when they slung the shit on the wall, and it hit on the wall. That was in his house. That's later.
Whose house?
King Francis
Many names
the First. The only one you're talking about now is King Francis the First.
Of France?
Yeah.
All right, you untangle that, Roxy.
He wants you to spell disambiguation, yeah.
He also founded La Havre, the port, because he was planning also to sort of have a lot of traffic in the Atlantic or something like that.
This is Francis I. A port in France. But he didn't do it.
Yes, he founded the city and the port.
Okay,
yes, he did. Of course he did.
Oh, he got it? Okay, he did. Oh, I didn't know. I never heard of it. How do you spell ASP? A-S-P?
H-A-V-R-E.
Now, Ion, since we have that article, does Contarini or Zorzi or Sarpi, these are the people in that article from the Venice area, are they involved in negotiations representing Habsburgs or niggling at the Habsburgs? Are the Venetian party part of this conflict between the Habsburgs and French and Spanish?
Well, we're going to say yes. We're going to say yes because of the banking connection, but it's more the Syro-Phoenicians more than the Viennese. But now they're involved because when the letters of credit are actually processed, they're done in Vienna. Or actually some of it's in Latvia, but that's a whole other conversation. But that's a little bit...
You said they are involved.
30.
You mean...
They are.
You're saying the Syro-Phoenicians or the Venetians?
The Syro-Phoenicians. Syro-Phoenicians. But the letters of credit will be issued from Venetians.
I'm talking Venice.
We are too. The letters of credit will be processed in Venetian banks, in banks in Venice.
Yeah, are you saying Syro-Phoenician, P-H-O-E? Are you saying Syro, P-H-O-E, or V-E-N-I-C?
Yes.
You're saying P-H-O-E. So they were still they started coins, I think, in the alphabet. So they're still around at the time of the printing press?
They're still now. They live three doors down from you right now, watching every damn move you make.
Yeah, I do. Counting
the ice cream.
They are right now.
Counting the ice cream buckets.
Counting
the ice cream buckets. Counting the ice cream buckets.
Yeah. They watch when Bob goes to the store, when he comes home.
Are they what they call the black nobility of Venice?
Yeah, are they
Noir.
The House of Guelph,
Noir.
Ion?
Blackamoors.
Yeah,
maybe they're the Moors, the Blackamoors.
Dante wrote about the white Guelphs and the black Guelphs. Is that overlay there, or is that something different?
Yeah, but Francesca Macaro.
Okay, you give us a name. But she's asking about the black nobility. Ian, is the black nobility led by Saint-Martin, or it depends on who's in power in the Vatican to lay the blame, where the black designation
exactly
shifted
that's
about?
Right. That's right.
Yeah, it's not a constant, Roxy, who the black nobility is. Reading the LaRouche article with the battle between the Platonists and Aristotelians, that misses the whole use of the mystery landscape by these oligarchs. Right, Ian? That's what you've added to the LaRouche quadrant.
Certainly.
Right.
One thing I think they never explain is when Saint-Martin and Saint-Germain made this contract that America got in debt with them, how come they gave the dragon to China?
They didn't.
The dragon is the name for America, by the mountain.
Yes, and
by the mountain,
so
not
what's
China.
Your question? Yeah. So what's your question? State the question of better, Roxy.
You said America is owned by the people of China.
That's not true. That's not true.
Well, explain the difference. The mountain owns it,
well,
and they the people
the debt was created.
Have shares in it?
No. The people have really nothing to do with it, because the people are belong to the government. The People's Republic of China is the government. The government of China owns nothing of the U.S. of A. Or B.
Yeah, but
or
what about
C,
the $5 that the Chinese pay every week? What about their contribution?
Oh, that's not the people. They pay that to the mountain. That's different.
All right, that's paying it to the mountain. The people are, right? The people are paying it to the mountain.
The citizens.
And do they
but
get
you say the people,
yes.
No, you know, get this right. You say the people, that's
the
People's
Republic
of China. And it ain't the people.
Yeah.
It's not people. It's the citizens.
Right.
The citizens who live in China that are engaged with the mountain are those people who own the debt.
And, you know, we have in the American elections what's called the Electoral College has a say in the election that looks to some people as not and the Electoral College has been replaced by the mountain, correct?
Got to go to Earl. Hello, Earl.
Earl,
and
British Columbia.
The mountain
somebody sing Kumbaya. Maybe that'll
plan.
Do it.
Do what?
Pickles. Is that you, Pickles?
Ion is spiraling out, losing his foundation. Pickles. Let's see if Ion's still here. He's still here.
Ion, did the mountain make the 1,000-year plan?
There you go.
There you go. Ion, but are they replacing today's Electoral College in terms of non-democratic influence?
Oh, Bob.
Is that top secret? We can't go that way? I hear you, Ion. I hear you. I had just drowned. His last words were, Bob!
Let me out of here! Let me out of here!
Okay, so he did drop. He is no longer with us. He did drop off.